Now on Sports Talk, it's SC Wild with Major Billy Downer of the Department of Natural Resources. Major Downer is here to take your questions about the great outdoors in South Carolina. Give him a call at 888-898-2525. It's SC Wild from DNR on the Sports Talk Radio Network.
And indeed, it is time for another exciting edition of SC Wild from DNR with the Major Billy Downer, the star of the show here on the Sports Talk Media Network. Good evening, sir. How are you?
Always a pleasure to be with you, Phil. I am doing fairly well.
Good. Good. You know, it would be helpful if Mother Nature would, you know, start to turn a little more coolish out there so the hunters out there will feel like it's truly, you know, hunting season out there. What's going to be happening here with the weather moving forward? What do you project along those lines?
All right, well, it's gotten very cool this week. Had some really cool mornings around here. It's been 39 degrees in the morning, 40 degrees. It's been really good, and the evening's getting cooler. So, real pleased with that. Deer hunters should be really pleased with that because that makes it a better hunting season all the way around. We start getting cool. It's in October. So as we talked about last time, when you get to October and, you know, mid-October to November 1st, you hit that, what we typically see as the rut in South Carolina. So we're seeing that a little bit right now. I've seen some really nice bucks taken in the last week. I mean, one of my friends killed a tremendous deer in Clarendon County. I've seen one or two really nice deer taken in Clarendon County in the last week. Trophies by any way you look at it. So this cool weather does make things, you know, pep up. But I'm looking at it right now. We got a full moon out here, and that makes it tough sometimes too. And that's a whole nother set of problems. If you talk to deer hunters, everybody's got a different opinion. But typically, full moon nights, it's very bright. So the good news is you can see later. Because, again, remember the rule on hunting a deer, you can hunt 1 hour before sunrise to 1 hour after sunset. That is daytime. Nighttime is any time after that. It's illegal to hunt deer at night. So you can hunt up to an hour after sunset.
Mm-hmm.
There's been often in that question of what does that mean? Does that mean I can sit in the stand for an hour after? Or do I have to leave my stand 15 minutes before and walk to my truck? Well, it means you can hunt up to an hour after. And hunts defined as, you know, seeking to pursue game with a gun, with a rifle, basically. If you're sitting in that stand, you're still hunting, so you can hunt to an hour after. Most time, you're not going to be able to see. But this time of the month, when you get a full moon, a lot of times on a clear night, you can see a lot later with some really good scopes. Now, you've got to have some really good optics on your rifle to see later. And again, you know, going back to, we've always preached, you know, identify your target. Know what you're shooting at. So many times people have shot at what they thought was a deer and shot another hunter walking from their stand. So it's not something you suggest somebody sit late. But when you got a full moon, it does get a little bit brighter, and you can sit a little bit later than normal. But the problem with full moon is deer feed all night, and a lot of times they don't come out till dark. So that makes it hard on a hunter. You hope for that buck that's in rut, it's going to come out early looking for does, or those does that come to your corn pile, he's going to come out there and check them out. But the full moon does kind of push deer to nocturnal feeding. So we got a little bit of a double negative on you right now. You got cold weather, which is good, but you got full moon, which means they're going to feed at night. So that's what's going on, but some nice deer have been taken.
What part of the state primarily? You mentioned your one friend down there, I guess, in the lower part of the state. Where else?
Well, I'm seeing mostly around here. I have heard a few deer. You know, your rifle season is now open statewide, so people are hunting all across the state. So nice deer being taken. You know, the upstate's very cold. Good night. Clemson was in the 30s, lower 30s, I think, this morning, the last couple mornings, so. Always good to deer hunt when it's cold like that. Deer just seem to move. Animals have to feed when it's cold, or they're going to feed naturally. So that's just one of those things you see, you know, deer get more active.
I hadn't noticed the cold weather in the early morning hours because, be honest with you, I'm not out in the early morning hours. So I was referring to more of the 75 degrees we're getting in, you know, mid-afternoon.
Holy cow, I know. I was wondering where the heck you've been, because it's been in the 30s, in the lower 40s in the morning. So where have you been?
Not where I've been, I can tell you that. I'm not out there in that. So
you hadn't been up early enough, I guess.
No, negative, negative. So
the bus stop forecast is wear a jacket.
Yeah, yeah. So besides the deer hunting season, what else we got cooking out there?
Well, right now, coon season's in. We talked about that last time, and, you know, cooler weather. Cooler weather typically makes everybody want to, you know, hunt a little more. So you see that, you know, about everywhere. But, you know, a lot of our seasons will come in closer to Thanksgiving. Quail, we talked about that coming in. You know, squirrel, all those coming in here very soon. So, you know, but right now, deer season's in full swing. Dove season's out. I won't come back in until Thanksgiving season. Waterfowl season will come in Thanksgiving season again. Your early goose season's done for September. But this is deer season right now. This is the height of it. And just, you know, it's funny. I had somebody earlier today talk about seeing deer downtown Sumter. And, you know, in downtown Sumter, you've got the Swan Lake Gardens. You've got kind of a branch system and ditch system that goes through the city that is got some little small wooded areas, and they're like, we like to feed the deer because we're afraid they won't get any food. I'm like, wait a minute. You are got another thing to think about, because deer in cities really do very well. They're very adapted to city life. They know how to eat on shrubs, azaleas, and whatever else they can find to eat that stay green, because people like to put nice green around their houses. Yeah, you know, that's what happens on Hilton Head Island, down at and down on the barrier islands. We have some of those really, Kiowa Island, you know, and Fripp Island. Those deer thrive there because they've just got such less greenery, because everybody plants these nice green plants around their houses. And these little small heads of woods, they bed in there, but they come out and feed around the houses all day and all night. And to the point that they're, you know, really overpopulated in these suburban areas, particularly in the coastal areas like that. They get really overpopulated because there's nobody hunting inside those city limits and around those communities. So deer become a problem because you can't grow any ornamentals. People down there complain a lot, but that's just wildlife.
Mm-hmm. As we start to, I was going to ask you, as we start to make the turn towards Thanksgiving here, you know, a little over a month away, and you're talking about hunting and all that. And of course, turkey comes to mind. What do we have out there from the standpoint of real turkey hunts and things like that?
Well, we don't have a fall turkey season. Some states do. Virginia's one, I think, comes to mind at the fall turkey season. We've never had a fall turkey season. A lot of folks have argued why we don't. But I will quote Dave Balvin from years ago. Just we are, and today, Charles Ruth and those, it is just, we don't have the population to sustain that. Some states do a hen season. And when you do that, you really run the risk of really cutting your population back, killing your breeding hens, and your next breeding season not being very good. So, you know, last year, a lot of people complained they didn't see turkeys as much. And we've talked about that being cyclical. It just depends also, it's area specific. Birds do well in some areas, and sometimes they don't. Drought, you know, dry weather, birds seem to do better than wet weather. In wet growing season, they don't do as well. Chicks will drown, things like that. But in a drier season, the chicks seem to do better. But turkey season, we don't have a turkey season. So if you're going to eat a wild turkey for Thanksgiving, you better have it in the freezer already.
It's Major Billy Downer, SC Wild, from DNR here on Sports Talk. If you have a question for the Major or a comment about something he said or something else he has said, our phone number, 888-898-2525, 888-898-2525. You can also shoot us an email, or better yet, connect with us on Twitter at Sports Talk SC, at Sports Talk SC. If you want to jump on our timeline, have a question for the Major, we can share it with him that way. And Pat, you have a comment or question for the Major?
Yeah, just a Major, I remember last year you going through with us about chronic wasting disease, CWD, and its impact on South Carolina. Was just curious if you had any updates for our hunters or people around the state this year, if they need to be concerned about it more or less than previously, or just any kind of 2021 report on that CWD?
That's a great question. So chronic wasting disease is still a major concern in the state because we have not had an outbreak of it. We haven't had any reported CWD positive deer in our state. Now, that does not mean, as we talked about before, the problem, and when people got their deer tags this year, it was very informative on that deer tag, basically the mailer, the tag, the back of tags have a lot of explanation and a lot of information about chronic wasting disease, trying to make it very clear to folks, particularly those that go out of state, because there are many states that people go to, Kansas, Missouri, that have chronic wasting disease. They have mule deer, they have white-tailed deer that are that have chronic wasting disease. And just because it has CWD doesn't mean that they may not look healthy at first in the early stages, and you may kill a deer that may be positive CWD, and if you bring it back whole, which is illegal to do so, that paperwork is very clear. You have to remove, you know, if you kill a nice deer out in Kansas, Missouri, anywhere, any out-of-state deer, and you want to bring it back in the state, you have got to go ahead and have that deer skinned, have the head caped, and the skull, as far as the skull cap with the horns. I know it sounds gross, but you got to have those antlers cut off, that skull cap in place. Have a taxidermist out there, somebody knows how to do that, and prepare it so that you can bring it back to get mounted in the state if you want to get it mounted in the state. But you cannot have any brain matter on it. You can't have any part of the spinal cord, anything of that deer back, like any bones like that. You have to have the deer. It has to be the deer has to be deboned, meat only when you bring it back. No part of that spinal fluid, because that's where CWD, the prions live for CWD inside those spinal fluids. So it's very, very contagious. It's so contagious, we talked about it again, but just a reminder, you can bury a deer and it doesn't go away for years. Mm. It sits in the ground. So it's very, you know, they've even burned it. They've done studies where they've Cloroxed a room, brought deer in, they didn't have CWD again. So it's very highly infectious, highly contagious, and we don't want it in our state. Now, is it possibly going to come eventually? It might, but we want to do everything we can to prevent the spread of CWD. So if you go out of state, make sure that you remove that skull cap of that deer, remove any brain matter, have the deer skinned, you know, have that deer ready to be mounted in this state. Have somebody out there professionally take that deer skin your deer up there so you can bring the skin back and you can have that skull cap with your antlers on it and bring that back already ready to go. Do not bring the head back. Whole body. We've had people do that, bring it back, start showing around town. And you could be bringing a deer back that has CWD in it, and if you take it to a local taxidermist, they're going to throw it in their gut pile, and that's how CWD spreads right there. So that's a really major concern for us.
Is that a disease that's dangerous to humans or just animals only?
Great question. So it's very akin to what they call mad cow disease. As far as they know, there's not been a positive connection between CWD in deer and humans eating deer meat. However, I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, there's no way I'm eating a deer CWD positive.
No.
If I know it, I'm not eating it. I'm not going to be the test subject, okay?
No.
But there hasn't been a connected study to humans as of yet. But you know, I just don't want to be the guinea pig for that. I just don't.
So
want to eat it.
How do you know as a hunter if you take a deer and it's got it? Is it noticeable? Is it outwardly noticeable?
So typically you're going to see that deer's going to be lethargic. That deer's going to be walking in circles. It's going to be very poor looking for the most part. Like I said, you know, some people go out west and kill a trophy, and it may be in the early stages of CWD and not be exhibiting that. But it typically is going to be walking in circles, lethargic, around water a lot, not leaving water, which sounds a lot like what we have. We've had a no disease I've talked about that's actually common, DWD, but HWD, hemorrhagic disease, which is naturally occurring in our deer population in this state, and basically deer hemorrhage from the inside out. And that is basically a almost really, you see that in areas where there's overpopulation of deer a lot of times, and you'll run through the deer herd, you know, knock them back. It's kind of a natural way to thin the herd out. Again, it's different. We're talking about HWF, you know, hemorrhagic wasting disease, hemorrhagic disease. It is not like CW. CWD is very detrimental to deer. Deer don't survive it, and it spreads to other deer. And it spreads to saliva as well. So corn piles become a huge problem. States that have a CWD outbreak have to stop baiting, make it baiting illegal to try to slow the spread of it. It's just one of those things. You know, states, we've talked about this, states in Wisconsin, they had to try to kill every deer in the county.
Wow.
And that's almost impossible to do. Yeah, it's drastic measures to try to get rid of it. So we really want our deer hunters to take that seriously. Please don't go out of state and bring a whole deer back. Remember to debone that deer, bring it back, you know, have your deer caped out. You're going to get it mounted and bring the skull cap back without any brain matter in it. That's just important to say. Sounds gross, but it's important to mention because hunters know what that means.
Absolutely. Let's get to a more pleasant subject. How about fishing? What's going on out there in the waters?
So rockfish right now are biting pretty well. Your striped bass are starting to bite. Lake Marion, some folks have been doing pretty well with that. Your other inland lakes, Strom Thurmond and other lakes, you know, Lake Murray. So stripers are biting right now. It's the time of year on Lake Marion. You see stripers when used to school, and they still do school, not quite as often as they used to. But, you know, remember your size limits are different everywhere. So I don't want to mention a size limit. It will be wrong somewhere. But, you know, check out the rules and regulations for your lake. Very clear on stripers. Hey, we've got a very good section on that. It talks about the different limits for stripers, the size limits. Check that out before you go fishing. The stripers are biting very good on live herring. Drop down, you know, dropping off side of the boat, fishing, drifting, doing very well. Off near shore, inshore fishing, this is the time of year that your speckled trout really turn on. Had a good report today from some folks that went to the coast and did real well. Caught about 20 keepers. That's a limit for two people. That's great. So speckled trout are turning on. Your shell rakes, on the bends in some of your creeks and coastal tidal creeks is where you'll find those speckled trout. Again, feeding usually on, you'll see the bait fish. They're going to be running that bait fish, feeding on those. So, again, you know, DOA shrimp, live bait works as well. The popping corks, another way people use with DOA shrimp on them, very popular for speckled trout. Redfish, of course, any time of year pretty much biting, but speckled trout, this is the time of year, they really gather up in these tidal creeks, just feeding before the wintertime. So good time to go speckled trout from October through November here. Really great time to go. It's cooler. The water does cool down a little bit, but the fish really start turning on.
Let me ask you something else. This time of year, of course, especially in the upstate of South Carolina, the mountains, people get up there to camp and watch the leaves turn or see what the leaves have done in terms of turning. Where are we with that in terms of population, folks getting up there camping and taking in the sights and the views from the upstate area up in the mountains of South Carolina?
So I have a direct report from Major Mike Isaacs, former member of the 1981 Clemson National Championship team, one of our long-esteemed officers here. He went on a ride on the Blue Ridge Parkway this weekend and gave me a report. Said that leaves had not turned back yet until you went all the way to Asheville. You saw some leaves turn. He said the leaves won't start turning probably for another 2 weeks. So not this weekend, but next weekend should be the time to go and start seeing some great fall colors in the mountain areas of South Carolina and into North Carolina. So that's a direct report I did get. So that was a great question. I actually have an answer for you this time. That directly comes from Major Mike Isaacs, a good friend of mine, and one of our majors with DNR, and he went on a ride this weekend and just he lives in Clemson and just told me that the leaves probably won't be turning for about 2 more weeks, he thought, you start seeing some really good color.
Do we do well in South Carolina?
Looking forward to doing that myself.
Do we do well in South Carolina with upstate camping and leaves watching, whatever you call it, watching the leaves turn and things up there?
Yeah, so there's some great waterfalls in South Carolina that people just don't know about. You Google that online, waterfalls near Clemson, you'll see various waterfalls. Some of them are WMAs, on WMA property, on Forest property, your Cassie Gorges, going up to the, I'm going to say Lookout Mountain, that's not it, but we've got a place we fixed up, it's just beautiful, upstate, that great fall coast. You go up above Clemson and drive some of the South Carolina small roads back there, you'll see some great leaf colors in about 2 weeks. And that's coming, Sassafras Tower, I couldn't remember. And the Sassafras Tower is about probably 40, 45 minutes from Clemson. Up top is one of the highest points in the state. You can see on a clear day, Tennessee, North Carolina, Georgia, the mountains of those three states around you. Really beautiful. Our department did a really good job. We were donated that area and built that tower up there. It's got the state line for North Carolina, South Carolina, where you kind of go up there and see where you're in the different two states. It was a joint venture with North Carolina, but we did the work. And you can see beautiful colors.
Wait a minute. Joint venture with North Carolina, but we did the work.
Well, most of our property, but, you know, when you go into another state and you're on top of a mountain, you kind of get permission to build something in their state. So it's something we did jointly do together, but it was money that was donated for Sassafras Tower. So it wasn't like we had to go out and, you know, spend our money. It was donated money raised to build that Sassafras Tower. It's beautiful. If you've never been there, Phil, I tell you, you got to go up there. Make sure you got your brakes fixed and checked before you go up there. A lot of windy roads, real tight curves, and, you know, good steep hills, but you'll get some real good leaf color up there. For sure.
Yeah, don't burn those brakes out going downhill, huh?
No, that's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. The Sassafras Tower is a hidden gem in South Carolina. That new lookout up there is beautiful. And I encourage anybody that hasn't gone up there. A lot of folks just go to Clemson in the old days, just go to Sassafras Tower's old fire tower, and they go up there to camp or do whatever. Now it's a nice lookout. It's beautiful. Steph's been very beautifully done. Take some great pictures, but it's a beautiful place. Again, a little hidden gem there for DNR, a little feather in our cap, the Sassafras Tower.
No question, no question. Before we let you go, we've got about a minute and a half. What's going on around the DNR office? Do you have most of your people back in from the COVID situation, or where are you with that?
It seems like COVID's slowing down pretty good right now. It's slowing down some. You know, COVID's breaking out. Always, everywhere, somebody's got COVID positive somewhere or there's been exposure. But our offices are open. Our licensed vendors are open, of course, in Charleston, Florence, Columbia down at the Farmers Market, out in Clemson, the Clemson office, and up in York office are open now. And now there's one in Horry County, in Conway, the office there is open. So, several locations for licensed vendors, for our licensed vendor, you know, our licensing offices. And we're doing our best to keep those open and busy. Of course, from time to time, they're having to cut staff back because of exposures or COVID, but we are open for business.
Well,
I will say voting tends to still be behind a little bit. So if you haven't got your voting paperwork yet, please be patient.
Well, we hope your business stays relatively calm and peaceful, and you're just out there directing people on where to see the leaves and find the fish and pick out those healthy deer. That'd be nice.
Absolutely, sir.
We thank you. Have yourself a great rest of the week. We'll see you in a couple of weeks, another edition of SC Wild.
I enjoyed it, sir.
Always a pleasure. Thank you very much. Major Billy Downer, Citadel, class of what? 70, 75, 80. I'm not sure.
I'm going to go 90.
90?
Yeah.
You think he's that young?
85, 90?
Yeah, 90. Somewhere in there. You can tell he's a Citadel guy. Always says, sir. Love that. And we appreciate the Major being with us. And we thank DNR for their participation. We thank you for being with us. Hope you learned something tonight. Have a great night. See you tomorrow. Coastal's up 7-0 on App State. See you tomorrow.